Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, host of Full Service Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this show, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good evening, live from Bushwick, it's Fumanabatted on HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
I'm Mary Izette.
And I'm Chris Kuzmi.
And we're your co-hosts to this weekly journey of all things fermented.
Archived on Stitcher, iTunes, and right here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Come.
Either one gets you there. But just as a reminder, since we're talking about that OrgCon, HRN, Heritage Radio Network, is a not-for-profit radio station in two converted containers, shipping containers, in Bushwick, Brooklyn, behind the glorious Roberta's Pizza. And we have a couple of announcements, not beer-related, but Heritage Radio Network is taking a summer break this year. So we're taking a little bit of a rest to recharge all of the shows. We will be back on September 14th. That's Monday, September 14th. Also my dad's birthday.
I did not. Wow, that's exciting.
Yep. And then we're also, I don't know if many of you knew this earlier in the year, but Heritage Radio Network did a Kickstarter to get a new website. We got a preview of it last Wednesday, and we're super excited. So there's going to be a lot more features, a lot more interaction with host of all the shows. We're going to have a lot more space to put photos and blog posts and all kinds of fun stuff. So
we'll have a live chat room as well, so you can actually be chatting with us while we're talking.
Yep.
In real time, Mondays at 7 p.m.
So there's a ton of excitement, and that is going to be launched also, I believe, in September. We'll have a date for that once we come back for the fall.
September 21st is the goal for that in the fall.
In the fall.
Seven
seems so far away, but it's not. All right. So tonight in the studio, we have our friend Ethan Long, who one of the owners of Rockaway Brewing Company and also a brewer there.
Hello.
Welcome to the studio.
Much appreciated. It's great to be here with you, too.
And we just got off a really fun two-day adventure at in Cooperstown, New York, at Omegang Brewing Company. We were all at Belgium Comes to Coopertown, which is Omegang's annual Belgian and brewing extravaganza, outdoor festival, camping.
It's in its 10th year. I was lucky enough to go to a couple of the first ones that was kind of mildly attended, but still great and awesome. And now it's full-blown into an insane gathering of beer lovers of Belgium.
I kind of equated it to a Woodstock of beer lovers.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, Ethan, this was your first year.
It was.
So, Rockaway poured this year.
We did. It was wonderful to be there. We had a great time. We brought up a small crew and enjoyed all there was to have with all the many homebrewers and the many brewers that were there and the many camps of tents that had special beers on the side besides the normal pouring with every brewery that you can imagine that you'd want to have beer from.
This festival is a pretty great festival. It's kind of a camping Woodstock-ish kind of festival based around a 4 or 5 hour Belgian beer tasting on Saturday. But most of the people show up on Friday and camp on the grounds of Omegang Brewery, where they have hops growing right there. They set up a stage and theater for bands. They have a bonfire every night, and people celebrate from their campsites. You know, the festival itself is a very small portion of the goings on. It's pretty fun. What were some of your favorite things that happened at Omegang?
I would say the social content of just being able to walk from little enclaves of tents to tents where you had brewers set up, you had industry people, and it wasn't just the normal pour. You could actually interact and hang out and have everyone brought a special beer in their cooler, so
yep.
Hey, come here, I want you to try this. And so by the end you were a little inundated with too many beers, but I think there was like special moments where people were definitely sharing and kind of interacting in a fun space. Of course, when it became 3-4 in the morning, it was a little hard to remember what exactly you tasted.
Yep. It's a game of hydration throughout the thing. Mary just poured a beer on the table. What did you just pour?
I just poured the Rockaway Brewing Company's original ESB, which is canned now.
Yes, we are now starting to can, which is very exciting for us. We've been looking forward to doing this for a couple of years now. And why it's taking us this long, I don't know. But we're very excited now that we have our can release. It's at the brewery, and we're in the process of getting our own canning line. It's shipping in a few weeks.
That's exciting.
I talked to one of the brewers who is using it in British Columbia today. His new system's coming. Ours is coming to us probably in 2 weeks. So early September, we'll have the canning line installed in the brewery, and we'll be moving through and canning our own beer, which is a wonderful step forward.
Yeah. And now you guys have been using the mobile canner, or a mobile canner, correct?
We have. So once we got through all the label design and moved through actually getting cans purchased, now we've gone through a couple cycles of bringing the mobile canner in, doing a run, which then goes out the door rather quickly. So we're excited to now be able to meet that demand without having to schedule the time and place and date and clog up the bright tank, so we can do it on our schedule.
You say you don't know why you haven't been doing it till now, but you know, just a little history on Rockaway Brewing Company. You started out as a 2-barrel system, right?
Correct. So it's still going to be tight with the 5-barrel system. I mean, the mobile canners, we need to have a 15-barrel minimum to be able to use them. Mm-hmm. And we do have a 15-barrel fermenter. We have a new 15-barrel bright coming. So for us, you know, it works. We have a 10 and a 5. We can get everything ready. It just means everything's on hold while the canning happens.
Right.
But we're excited. It's definitely moving forward, and we're able to do it, and it's been very beneficial.
I think you're going to be the second New York City brewery to have your own canning line.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Who's the first?
I think Bronx.
Bronx.
Oh, that is correct. They did buy it. That's right. I went up there and saw it. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
Yes, yeah. Very exciting.
Because there's actually a lot of New York City breweries are putting out cans, like Other Half and Finback actually just came out with their first can. But everybody's using mobile canners right now. Mobile canners, except Bronx.
Right.
So that's pretty exciting.
I like to have control of everything I do, which is a good thing and a bad thing. But it's it'll be exciting too that we can do special runs for the tasting room and not just a larger production run. So it gives me a little more flexibility and timing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, complete control. That's cool.
And ESB was one of your first beers out, right?
It is. That is our flagship beer. That is the beer that we brewed and brewed and brewed and brewed and brewed for years in our backyard in Rockaway.
Mm-hmm.
And even as we brew other beers, the ESB was the one that we really stuck with. That just kind of was our flagship favorite.
What was the development of this recipe and the changes that went through that? Did it change a lot from day one, or was there a lot of dialing in, especially going to a 2-barrel system and then again going to a 5-barrel system, or is this one of those ones that just like...
No, this is one of those ones that stuck early, but it really we kept brewing it over and over and over for, I think, 2.5 years before we even opened the brewery.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of, we moved the taste forward and back in the mouth and up and down. It took us a long time to dial in. And even though it was pretty spot on early, we wanted to experiment with where it needed to go and where it could go, and then bring it back to the point that where we wanted it to be.
Right.
So then with the 2-barrel system, it gave us a couple years of making it over and over again on a small scale, very like micro, and then scaling it up to the 5-barrel, which is not a big leap, was pretty easy, but fun and nice to see that we can. It really kind of held its tune as we brewed it in a larger scale.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite styles, and it's one of my favorite. This one in particular is one of my favorite ESBs, without a doubt. And I think that it's a bold move to starting a brewery, make an ESB your flagship. So I commend you for that. It's beautiful.
In today's hop laden landscape,
it has hops. It's just they're not as in your face.
Yeah, but, no, it's very balanced. I mean, very drinkable beer. So,
well, thank you. That was one of the things that
I love. So I will say that Rockaway, now we have, so in New York State, we have some very unique state laws, I would say, on the national landscape, in that most of the breweries are allowed to have a tasting room that can, that basically functions as a bar. You're allowed to sell pints, you're allowed to sell flights, growlers, you sell cans out of your tasting room. So in New York State, we have some great legislation that has made that all happen. So most of the breweries, almost all of the breweries in New York City, have some sort of tasting room. And I have to say, yours is one of my favorites.
Well, I appreciate
that. I've been going there. I've probably been there more than almost any other brewery outside of Brooklyn, just because Brooklyn's within walking distance.
Now that she discovered
she
can take the New York State Ferry.
I've seen you pop in.
Yeah, right, yes.
Right. It's always a pleasant surprise when we're finishing a brew day and you come in the door and it's like, oh, Mary, hey.
It's always tempting because I sometimes take the ferry home from Midtown, 34th and the river, obviously, East River Ferry. And the first stop is Long Island City. And you guys are within very easy walking distance. So, yeah, sometimes it's too much of a temptation to hop off the ferry there and come on over.
You have a really awesome crew of people over there, and you boast the only brewery to employ 3 trombonists, I think.
We have 3 trombonists?
Yeah, 3. There's Flint and Chris, and he said there was one more.
I didn't realize we had more than those two, but I know John plays bass.
John plays bass.
Then I'll have to find out who the third is.
He was did Flint bring in the pink plastic trombone yet to the bar?
Not yet.
God damn it. Very excited for that to exist. But that's not the only reason you guys are special. On Thursday nights, Flint does a lot of crazy kind of fermentations and on the side, and Thursday nights.
He does. And this Thursday, which is going to be exciting, is the lime grapefruit Zima, which is comes out of your book, Mary.
Zima or Sema?
Sema.
Sema, okay. Yes. I think Zima's trademark somewhere else.
Yeah, I would be careful how I say that. and then additionally, Flint has been great about doing homebrews. We do have homebrew Thursdays, so there's a fair number of kind of experimental brews that happen with the tasting room staff. And so,
and by homebrews, you mean, you know, pro brews, but on a homebrew scale, in that they were made on premise, right?
Well, we have like we'll
and then a bottle shift.
We'll invite, like, just as a tasting, like Flint will do is do a special one off, or one of the staff will open it up to do just a couple gallon batch that we can then just share in little tastings amongst ourselves, and people who come in get to experience what's going on and see the process just happening right on the bar top.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And you're the only brewery in New York City that you get a free bag of Cape Cod potato chips with every beer.
Yes, Cape Cod has been very nice to us.
Not only Cape Cod chips, but Tom's toothpaste, so you can brush your teeth after.
The last time. That's not every time, though, but...
The toothpaste was supposed to be for the runners, but it doesn't.
But you had
some little runover.
That was
and we have some pretzels, too. So.
But you guys do some other kind of cool events. You have an upstairs space, correct?
We do. We have a whole number of pop-ups that are coming through. I forgot to write down the whole list, but we have we've had a great list of people coming through, from Kimchi Smoke to pop-ups doing tacos to different types of food every weekend. So right now we're pretty much every weekend through the rest of the summer now has a new pop-up happening. So
basically anybody that comes by can also get some food. Mm-hmm. On premise as well as,
right, they tended to have a runner downstairs, and then upstairs will be the food, and they can go upstairs, order something, come back down, have a beer, enjoy it upstairs. We have some kind of cool space upstairs where it's casual. You can hang out at beer tables or come back down to the bar and in the tasting room and get your food there.
Awesome.
How many taps do you have in that tasting room?
We have 8, so we typically have 8 beers up at a time.
ESB is your flagship. Are there others that you repeat?
The Black Gold Nitro Stout, that one is also one of our perennial favorites. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the 3 that we put out into the world are the ESB, our 1875 Pale Ale, and our Black Gold Nitro Stout. And then the other 5 on the rotation are all things that we do either monthly or bi-monthly. It changes on a pretty regular basis.
Sure.
And not all ESB is usually always up. The other 2 don't always have to be up, but typically the 3 are up, and then the 5 additional on top of that
are exclusive to the tasting room, pretty much.
Right. Yep. So the other 5 are things that I'm experimenting with, things that I want to like try out a recipe, because we do with out in the world for distribution, we do a one-off monthly where we'll do a special. So this month was our cream ale. So you can get the cream ale at the tasting room, and you probably can get that out in the world at a few exclusive bars and restaurants who have decided to pre-order for that.
And how far are you distributed, or where are you guys distributing?
Just New York City. Right now, I mean, my whole thing was to drink local. Mm-hmm. So we're making as much beer as we can at the moment, and I don't think we'll at all be able to fulfill the whole New York City market.
Right. Are you with a distributor?
We are. We are with Union.
Union Beer Distributors is today's sponsor. Thank you, Union Beer Distributors.
Yes, they've been very nice to us.
They're awesome. They're
so we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back. We're going to ask you what you brought to BCTC, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about some other fun stuff.
Fun stuff. Bring it. Foment about it.
L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Welcome back to Foment About It on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We're here with our friend Ethan Long from Rockaway Brewing Company, which is attributed by our sponsor, Union Beer, which you can find more about it at greatbrewers.com. They do awesome stuff. They just awesome stuff. Actually, I started with Union Beer a long time ago when I was with Wandering Star Brewing Company. The people there are great. The sales reps are great. They're a totally fun crew, and they get crazy at Belgium Comes to Cooper's Town. Let me tell you what. Love those people.
So let's talk about, you brought two. So in addition to doing, your kind of classic original ESB and a bunch of the other beers, you've also been delving into Belgian style beers.
We did. We did two for BCTC. One of them was one of the ones that we do regularly at the brewery, so it was kind of in the style that we felt would be appropriate for being up there, which was our farm, a kind of farmhouse saison with a kind of a tart note to it. So it was in the kind of wheelhouse of a Belgian beer, so we felt comfortable bringing that up. And
that's farm with a PHARM, just in case
someone doesn't know. Yes.
Someone wants to look it up or whatever.
It's like the cool version of fat, right?
Yeah.
It's like fat.
So that was exciting to bring. We like that beer. It's a low ABV. It has 4.5, and it's very nice and it's crisp. It's a great summer beer. Mm-hmm. The other beer we brought was a Belgian blonde, kind of a hoppy style. One of our brewers, Ray Gerard. I usually like to spread it around, let the other people in the brew house come up with a beer every once in a while and like have fun with it and play, so we can kind of have a good communal aspect. And Ray's beer was a rank and file, so 7% alcohol. And we had done it a few months ago, and I was appreciative of it, and it was nice. And so when we knew we were going to go to BCTC, I asked Ray, like, let's brew it again. Let's do it. And he was excited, and we kind of tweaked it from the first go around, which is always nice to be able to like take your notes from the first round and add the things that you want on the next style. So it came out nice. It was a very good beer. Tricky thing with the Belgian yeast was that not having it served cloudy while we're up there, putting it in the car, dumping it in the truck, getting it out. Right. But ultimately, it served very nice, and I think was a good representation of Ray's recipe.
Awesome. And how did you? What kind of feedback did you get at the festival, or how did you feel it was received? And
People were very supportive. They kept, like, we had, you know, it's always nice when you're there and you see people coming back for a second and third time, because there is, you know, so much beer. I mean, I looked at the list and realized that I barely put a dent in half of them. So that when people were coming back, you know, a couple times and saying, hey, I really like this and appreciated it, it makes you feel good. And you kind of realize that there is, you know, something to be said for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
What were some of the beers you went back for, Mary?
I didn't actually go back for anything. So I was helping pour for Kelso. And I tried not to drink too much during the festival because we had some plans afterward, which we'll talk about in a minute. And I also went back to my old standard of trying to drink as funky as possible. So just a few of the beers that I tried that I really like. Needlow Brewing Company. They had an autoluminescent 4.8% hoppy coit beer. That's K-O-Y-T. I'd never heard of a coit, but it turns out that it was added to the Brewers Association's guidelines last year. So it is a beer that originated in, it's a Dutch coit. It can be spelled three different ways. K-U-I-T, K-U-Y-T, and K-O-Y-T. And there's actually a couple descriptions. I guess the BA is a little bit differs slightly from some Dutch brewers' descriptions. But this one had a significant amount of oat.
They used 45% oat, 35% wheat, and 20% barley.
Yeah, which is pretty close to, that fits within the Brewers Association definition. It says hop aroma is very low to low, so this was a little bit different, and that was a hoppy coit. But anyway, it was just a really delicious, silky beer. And I think it's cool to brew with that much oat. I've never actually brewed with that high percentage of oat. They also had a Cinco de Needlo, which is a gosa that they had aged in tequila with kefir lime leaves, lime zest, and lime juice. And this was a lime bomb. But I thought it was really cool and very drinkable and inspirational. Millhouse had an absolutely delicious cucumber cream ale. If you listened to the show a couple weeks ago, you will know that I'm obsessed with cucumber beers right now.
Not just beer,
but cucumber alcoholic beverages. Although I haven't done many cocktails, but fermented cucumber alcoholic beverages. So I thought their cucumber cream ale was really delicious. Good Nature Brewing Company had a Fair the Ale Flemish Red, which was mighty fine.
It was round. it's a well-rounded, balanced,
yes,
beautiful Flemish red beer with not too much of the kind of like real acidic overtones that I tend to not like in a lot of Flemish reds.
I agree. It's really nice. It's a hard style. Our friend Ben Mayoso at Prison City had a wonderful cherry Berliner Weiss. He also had an apricot Berliner Weiss that was very good as well. Everything I tried at Perennial was excellent. Grimm's brought their A game, and then Allagash, of course, had their Golden Brett, which is a beer that I love, and I revisited. And then alongside that, we were lucky to camp with Ethan and Ray from Rockaway, Chris and Eric from Greenpoint.
Greenpoint Beer and Ale, also known as Dirk the Norseman.
Yep. And then also Joel from Three's Brewing came up. So we had some delicious beers at our campsite as well.
That was our plan. But it wasn't just beer. We pumped up your Speed Brewing book, and what'd you bring?
Well, so we actually brought an 11-tap, a portable 11-tap system.
This was amazing to see. a tent with 11 taps like lined up, which kind of shamed all the other tents in the whole complex.
It was pretty righteous. It was great, and we welcomed any passersby to come sip on. We kind of represented Brooklyn and Queens pretty well. It was great.
No, yeah. I think it was wonderful to see. When I saw it set up, and then I walked down to the bottom of the hill, I came back up, and there was a line, and the line persisted for most of the night. There was a crowd around our tent, definitely trying all of Mary's wonderful.
I brought five speed brews, 3 5-gallon kegs, a 3-gallon keg, and a 1.75-gallon keg. And then we had, did you write a list down of who we?
Yeah, we served Rockaway's Farm, the Session Saison. We served Hook, Line, and Sinker from Greenpoint Beer and Ales, which was a Pilsner. Then they're also their Homeboy's Whim, which was a Session Saison, all Brett Session Saison, with Hallertau Blanc hops. Really, really neat and fun hop that worked awesomely with the Brett. It was really fun. Threes brought a really clean Pilsner.
Their Vliet. And then we also had the Kelso couple of Kelsos on.
Right. We had extra from the Kelsos. We had Kelso Saison, or Summer Saison.
And I think the Carroll Garden went for a while.
Carroll Garden went, yep.
Yeah. And then I served my kind of typical summer lineup that I've been serving at every homebrew talk that I've been doing. A Strawberry Sema, a Nelson Sauvin Hop Cider, and the, Jasmine Green Tea. Spirited soda. And then I also did kind of a test batch of a mojito short mead, which I'm still perfecting. It was good, but I have a second batch that I'm going to pour at Poor Standard Staten Island's Homebrew Club meeting at Flagship Brewing Company this Thursday night.
That was one of my favorites, just so you know.
The mojito?
Yes.
Awesome.
I think it was a very polarizing place because there were what in beer would be called phenolics, but in that one it was straight coming from the mint.
The mint tea.
And the mint tea. And, the balance on it was to be dialed in.
Yeah, that's how I think so too. I don't know.
Some people loved it. Some people, yeah.
I found it kind of a refreshing difference, and there was something in it that I couldn't quite pinpoint, but I felt that it had a kind of a special note to it. So I would focus in on that.
Yeah, but that was also blended. So I started with a gallon of this mint short mead, and Chris thought it was like just too much mint. So I made 2 gallons of lime short mead to blend with it, and then I end up adding a little bit of fresh lime juice at kegging. So I want to dial it down so I have like a 2-gallon recipe ready to go. But anyway, so that'll come later this fall. And then I also made a cucumber mint spirited soda recipe, and I thought that was really good too. I don't know if you tried that, but that was delicious. So I actually made that on Monday. I cold crashed it on Thursday, and I kegged it Friday morning before we left. So here's the recipe. I'm also going to try to put this on my blog. 4 grams of spearmint tea, 400 grams of fresh cucumber juice. We bought a relatively inexpensive, I can't remember the name of the juicers. They're like macerating juicers or whatever you call them. Anyway, I added a heaping 3 cups of sugar, some beer yeast nutrient, and I used the Red Star Premier Cuvée yeast. It started at 1032 and it went down to 1012. I kind of purposely did it so that I didn't want it to get too dry. I want it to be more like a slightly alcoholic soda, and that's what happened. I also wanted to make sure it stayed really fresh because I think cucumber obviously is best served fresh, and that really takes advantage of its aroma and flavor. And that came out to be around 2.6%. Anyway, so that's what I did. That was a lot of fun. I also want to put a plug in. I just bought 2 more 1.75 gallon kegs from Williams Brewing. I think these are excellent for small batch brewing, and also just if you want to do some experimental stuff, even if you're doing, 5 gallon batches, you could, in theory, order 3 of these little guys. They're super portable. You can toss them in a backpack, take them on the subway or wherever you need to go. The other thing I had mentioned a couple weeks ago is that I was really got turned on to these stainless steel carbonation caps. So we're not talking about the drops that you use to carbonate individual bottles, but they're actually the caps that you put on to force carbonate any kind of plastic bottle that'll fit. Has a normal styled neck, so like a 2-liter soda bottle. And I ordered those for $8.99 from Tommy House, that's TOMMY _ HOUS, on eBay. And so far, so good. HOUS. Or is it HAUS?
Shoot. Usually it's JUS.
Anyway, if you search that on eBay, you will come across. And $8.99 is a deal. And I mean, they're working really well for me so far. We also brought 5 gallons of seltzer up. Actually, Greenpoint also brought 5 gallons of water up, slightly seltzerized water.
It's a game of hydration.
It was wonderful. That
way. Yeah, no kidding.
And I made actually 3 different soda concentrate recipes. I've been really big on the soda concentrates. I think it's great because, especially like at a beer festival like that, obviously it's great to drink plain water or plain seltzer, but I find that it's more interesting if you have a little flavor to go in it, especially if it's fresh and nice. And actually there were some people that came by and, really didn't want to drink anything, or they just wanted to drink alcohol. And I shared with them some seltzer and soda cross, with some soda concentrate in it, and it was much loved. So I'm going to also throw those recipes on the blog. This weekend, the blog is mylifeoncraft.com. Mylifeoncraft.com. I made a lime mint, and it was similar to my lime mint short meat, actually. I made a lavender lemon and a raspberry English breakfast.
That one was wonderful.
Yeah, and we ended up drinking that one Saturday morning to hydrate, and also has a little caffeine in it. That's super easy. That was 1/2 package of the Trader Joe's freeze-dried raspberries, 6 bags of tea. I just made, a regular tea out of that. I added a cup of sugar. I think I would do less. I'm going to work on using less sugar. I think I'm going to try 1/2 cup. To really cut down the sweetness. You could always use more sweetness. And then I actually, that ended up making almost a 22-ounce bottle. So I'd say around like 16, 20 ounces.
What's your ratio when you make your sodas then? As far as like blending with seltzer?
I think it's up to taste. But I mean, that one, you could use maybe like an eighth of a cup to 6 to 8 ounces, I would
say. And I watched two different styles of people mixing it. There was those who put the concentrate in their cup first and then added seltzer, and those who did seltzer and mixed it by color.
Nice.
So it was curious to see what was the perfect blend, but I found adding it afterwards and then dosing it to the right color was kind of appropriate.
That's true. And I think seltzers are a great thing. I was had kind of ended up with this discussion on Facebook about breweries offering non-alcoholic alternatives.
Yeah.
And I think seltzer is a great alternative. You know, most breweries around here have some kind of water on the bar or something you can, you know, help yourself. But seltzer is a good alternative. Also, you know, those of us homebrewers that have kegerators at home, or even if you're not homebrewer, if you have a multi-tap kegerator, it's really easy to throw 5 gallons of seltzer on.
Or if you're throwing up 11 taps at your campsite for any reason.
Right.
We were doing it at the brewery. We would have a keg of seltzer that we would keg up, and then I was doing some hop soda, so you could actually do some different concentrates with hops. So we should figure out different alternatives for the bar.
Yes,
absolutely.
And I think that's awesome because, I mean, you want, you know, if you're rolling into a brewery or anywhere and you want to, you know, especially if it's a new brewery to you and you want to taste down their line, it's really great. You know, you want to stay hydrated between. So.
And you need the non-alcoholic representative too, because there is people who bring their kids and they want a nice hop soda to go with it and cleanse their palate.
Absolutely.
The kids want hot soda cleanser palate between beers, you say?
Right. Instead of the beers. Right. The parents take them between the beers.
Gotcha.
So, I don't know. That was my take on BCTC. It was great catching up with old friends, making new friends.
Among them, Johnny Leroy Compton, who is close to opening up his brewery, Highway Manor. You listen to his... He's kind of a crazy and very interesting person when it comes to fermenting. He's the guy that sprayed his house with Brett and Lactobacillus. He has Highway Manor coming out. He had a beer that he was sharing from his tent that was a blend of three different single hop beers naturally fermented. These single hops were Citra, Sriracha Ace and Motueka, and it was very, very, and then dry hopped again after blending, and it was a really funky, really fun beer. It's the kind of stuff that he'll be coming out with, and hopefully he'll be up and running by the end of the year.
Oh, and one thing I neglected to mention, but Oma Gang has kind of a series of their test batches that we had done an interview with Mike McManus, who is their innovation manager, and he and the staff brewers had done a series of what they call innovation beers. So I didn't get to have every one of them. Like I said, I was trying not to drink too much of the festival, but I did have a couple that sounded interesting. I had the Motueka Hennepin, which is...
That was awesome.
They're Hennepin with late addition and dry hopping. So they say lemon, lime, noble spice, light fruit. This is from their website. But it was with... Motueka is one of my favorite hops. And then there was another one that I love that was a funky saison. It's crisp, funky tart. And that was actually done... That's also dry hopped with Motueka. And that was one that was done by Justin Forsyth, which is one of the staff brewers. We also interviewed him a couple years ago as well.
The Oma Gangster episode.
Yes.
I had the pleasure of having the table beer, which was low in alcohol. And nice. I obviously missed some of the others trying to like catch all the brewers there.
Right.
But it was nice at least to dabble in some of the ones that they had available.
I had that one too. 3.7% and just poured the clean.
Yeah, super fun just to see, I mean, how many breweries in New York State have opened in the last couple of years and how many people are making just absolutely amazing beers. Interesting. Fun beers, and how some of our homebrewing friends have moved into professional brewing too that
you
we hadn't seen.
Yeah, you mentioned Prison City earlier, and he actually won Best in Show at Homebrew Alley 2 years in a row for Pilsners, or for a Bohemian Pils. I think Bohemian Pils again the second year. I can't remember exactly what it was. But he opened Prison City, and what he was serving, you mentioned it earlier, he had a Berliner Weiss that was with tart cherries and another Berliner Weiss that was with apricot. They were the same base. And then he also poured from us a growler of passion fruit Berliner Weiss, and they were all distinctly different, but awesome the way the fruit was dancing with that Berliner, or with the sours.
Yeah.
Prison City. I can't wait to go visit him. And myself, I'm coming to you.
All right, so just remember that we will be on a hiatus. We'll be back on Monday, September 14th. We would also, if you enjoy the show and you think other people would as well, an easy way to help us out is to rate or review us on iTunes. Basically, apparently how it works is the more just overall review slash ratings that you have, you know, that can move you up and people will get more exposure to us. Also, if you have something or someone that you would like to see us cover on the show, please reach out to us. Our email is femenaboutit@gmail.com. We also are on Twitter as @femenaboutit, as well as on Facebook. So please, we would love to hear feedback, suggestions, constructive criticism, and, you know, pass along emails of anybody that you would like to see us to have on the show or any subjects. We're planning some fermented meat shows
in the fall.
The fall, we're going to have Molly Browning, the barrel manager from Brooklyn Brewery, on. I think some sourdough bread shows, cheese bro shows, and a bunch of other homebrewing and beer goodness.
Ethan Long, thank you so much for joining us today on Ferment About It.
Yes. And,
and through the weekend.
If any of you are in New York City, head to Long Island City in Queens. Not only can you visit Rockaway Brewing Company, but there's three more breweries that are within walking distance of Rockaway Brewing Company.
It's our favorite beer trail in New York City.
Absolutely.
Well, much appreciated. It was wonderful hanging out with you all weekend. I think it was a whole 24 hours since I've seen you last. And here we are again. So it was great to see your smiling faces again.
Thanks for being on. You guys have a wonderful end of the summer and happy Labor Day. And we'll be back with you on Monday, September 14th.
Thanks, Liz Smith, our engineer.
Femen about it.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.